Greetings, citizens. This is Comedy Film Nerds, episode 255.
Stay in your homes.
Stay in your homes. It's not safe. We are halfway to 510, so stay safe. Are we going to do a 300-episode like special something or other?
No. No, we are not.
You have no time for that.
No, there is no plans to do it.
We're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not going to talk about it. And we're going to let it go like it's just a regular episode.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up.
I don't like the number 300. It's a sore subject.
Oh, really? Okay. There's got to be some phobia.
No, I actually I liked the movie 300. It was good. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Actually, you know what? I think for episode 500, we should do something crazy.
Okay, well, that's like several years down the road.
Yeah, no, I know. We'll be doing it from Florida, maybe?
Yeah. Why Florida?
Where we retire.
We're going to retire in 2 or 3 years?
We are, yeah.
Okay.
Penniless, but we'll retire.
Oh, so some sort of like squatters thing.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Okay. No, it'll work out. Trust me. I have it all planned out. It's in a folder with a butterfly on it.
I love it. Why perhaps would you bring that up?
Because we're going to be talking about Still Alice.
Yay! And SpongeBob, the movie.
Yes, SpongeBob, the movie, Sponge Out of Water, which is animated, yet also live action.
Mm. And this episode is just with Chris and I because our guest had some medical thing and had to cancel last minute.
Yes.
So
allergic to the Valley.
Just the 818 came up on her phone.
Like, oh, no, it can't go there.
She lost her shit. It's very, very, very plausible.
But she will be rescheduled.
Yes, yes. And we're going to just say she, so you don't know.
No.
Who is it?
So it's a girl.
Is it Margaret Thatcher?
With medical issues. So so who could it be?
Who could it be? All right.
Just say not Margaret Thatcher.
I thought we had her booked.
Yeah.
I thought Maggie was. I thought the Iron Lady was going to make a run up to the 818. So, all right, let's get into Still Alice.
We should.
We should get into Still Alice.
We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to get into Still Alice. Now, we're also going to be offering a spoiler episode on Still Alice, and you don't have to wait for it very long. It will be tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
On February 11th.
February 11th, it'll drop early. Like, I'm going to probably let it drop like 1 or 2.
Like, you should stay up for it.
Yeah, stay up all night.
Yeah.
Just refreshing your phone.
Yeah, over and over again.
Yeah, like a creep.
Because it won't be like 2 a.m. Graham's going to put like a weird number, like 204 or something.
Yeah,
To torture you refreshers.
Yeah.
You dirty. Just to torture you late night,
late night
internet refreshers.
That sounds really, really awful.
So, Still Alice. Now, this is the movie where Julianne Moore has been nominated for an Academy Award for her performance.
I believe she won the Golden Globe.
And she won the Golden Globe. And, again, another movie with an odd release schedule. It literally just kind of came out wide. So, not many people have seen it, especially when the Golden Globes happened.
And let's be clear here. The wide release is not that wide.
It's still limited.
Yeah.
When we say wide for this movie, it's like more than one theater in LA or New York.
Right. Which is what they did to qualify.
Qualifying run, yes.
And now it's out in a handful. It's only going to be probably your local, if you have an art house or something like that. Might be hard for you to find. I don't know.
Now, but definitely really like this movie, but her performance is what really elevates the film, because the rest of the movie surrounding Julianne Moore is, like, we'll talk about more in the spoiler, but competent to decent, but there's a reason why only she's nominated for this film.
I mean, I agree, and obviously the spoiler up, we get into a lot of detail. There's just stuff about certain things about Alec Baldwin's character. I don't want to get into that because that definitely spoils the movie, but there's certain stuff about his character as the husband that I thought was a little
inconsistent
and two-dimensional.
Biggest surprise was Kristen Stewart, you know, actually doing a competent job in this film.
She does a good job, and her character has some nice arcs to it that I thought were good. And the relationship between her and Kate Bosworth, who's kind of the older sister who's got it all dialed in, and Kristen Stewart, of course, shocker, is going to play the doesn't have it together.
And also showed more proactive motion than in all the Twilight movies combined. She actually makes a decision. She actually changes a little bit. She arcs a little bit. And, you know, she's not just waiting for a monster to save her.
Yeah.
It's the other surrounding characters are decent. There's just parts I wanted a little more.
And that's ultimately where the film doesn't fall flat. I want to be clear.
It's not a good film.
It's a good film, but it's not, the film does not raise to the level of Julianne Moore. That's really the main problem with this film.
And she's amazing in this. I mean, this is one of these, there's stuff in there, you know, to play a woman who is, her character is highly educated, motivated, like works at a university, career, professor, research, all this stuff.
And you wonder, too, if another actress had played that role, would we even be talking about this film?
I don't know, man. Because she does such a good job, too. And the slow decline.
Let's say Kristen Stewart played the lead. would we be talking about this film.
Very different, for very, very different reasons, maybe. But like I said in the spoiler, I want to see, actually, Kristen Stewart. I want to see her, like, hair pulled back. Got her shit together, a bubbly character that's like sharp. Is it not this always like, oh, I don't, what does it all mean? I'm the tormented teenager. Now I'm the tormented 23-year-old. Like,
yeah, do a Legally Blonde or something.
Yeah, I want to see her, like, you know, in an action movie or something. Like, I'm the.
Well, let's not get crazy.
No. I want to see her with like a crossbow rappelling down something. Like, done. This is the thing. And then boom, boom. Like, I want to see her get some shit done. Not all like.
Oh yeah, that works so well with Divergent.
She wasn't in Divergent.
No, I'm saying it was the same.
Oh right.
Type of, like, you know, this little mousy.
Sure. Character.
Yeah, it's you know, but great performance, but you don't believe her as a badass, Shailene Woodley.
I think,
you know, anyway. You don't go from Fault of Your Stars to Divergent and like, well, wait, not. I don't know.
She's more of a badass in Fault in Our Stars than she is in Divergent.
Yeah, pretty much. Funny. It's
anyway, I want to see Kristen Stewart try something else. She does a good job in this, but I want to see her really try something else.
You know who
else
doesn't want her to do that? Her agent.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, no, oh, it's, you know, you're paying for my house.
Right.
Keep brooding.
It's like, it's like, I'd love to see Michelle Rodriguez do like a rom-com where she's not the like tough as nails. She's always got a gun and just fucking, bleh. I'd like to see her just like cute little.
Get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, get out of your comfort zone. Like, I'd love to see her in like a summer dress, you know, without a gun. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know, baby steps, summer dress with a gun.
Summer dress. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah, Summer Dress with a Gun.
Summer Dress with a Gun. I can't wait for that film.
Hashtag Merchant Ivory.
Do it. But getting back to Still Alice, Julianne Moore does an amazing job. The scenes where she's slowly losing her memory but still trying to stay sharp, that's not an easy for an actor to pull off.
No.
And she does a great job.
And I will say, too, there's a lot of heartbreaking scenes, and it will definitely make you tear up.
Yeah, you'll cry.
If you're not dead inside.
Yeah, yeah. If you have no soul, then you won't cry. You would have already had a wolf vampire baby.
Yeah, and then you're already wearing Michelle Rodriguez's dress and have a gun.
I can't wait for this film. So, I would go see Still Alice, especially if you're someone who wants to see all of the Oscar-nominated films. Go see this.
And who doesn't?
Yeah, and who doesn't? It's worth it. And then watch Fault in Your Stars, because that movie should have been nominated. Shailene Woodley's amazing. And the thing about Fault in Your Stars, the supporting cast and the supporting character arcs...
They feel a little more believable.
They feel a little more believable than Still Alice. And again, we are nitpicking a little bit with Still Alice, because... When a performance is that good,
right,
your expectations of every other aspect of the movie are very much elevated,
right, and that's that became the rest of the film's problem.
Yeah, it did, but no one's horrible in it.
No one's horrible in it.
All right, so Still Alice, go see it. Now you saw.
I saw the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water. Now this film is part animated and also part live action. Like they become. Computer animated 3D, and they go into like the 3D world. But that doesn't happen for a very long time into the film. Like, the trailers make you think, oh, this is where most of the movie takes place. No, it doesn't. It's pretty much a cartoon for the most part, and then at the end they go attack Antonio Banderas, who's opening up like a restaurant. Now, I did not love this movie, and I will say I'm a fan of SpongeBob, and I really liked the first movie. Mm-hmm. I thought the first movie was a little bit more coherent and kind of captured the craziness of the cartoon a little bit more. This one felt like it had that crazy, that zany cartoon feel of it, but it felt like an 11-minute cartoon stretched out to 90 minutes, whereas the first one actually felt more like a film with SpongeBob in it.
So there's only been two movies.
There's only been two, yeah.
SpongeBob SquarePants movie, which came out in 2004, yes. And now this one, Sponge right. Out of Water.
Yeah, so this one I really didn't like. Now, my son loved it. I took him to see it. He really loved it, and he likes SpongeBob. But I think the kids, if you like SpongeBob, and if you're a fan of SpongeBob, it's... And I am. I like Tom Kenny. I've always loved what they do with the cartoon. But this movie just fell flat to me. It felt like recycled jokes, recycled premises, and now it's like all this eye candy we're going to throw at you just to kind of make it a little more interesting. Like there's like an omniscient dolphin comes into it, pretty, right. And that stuff like that's pretty funny and interesting. But it never really coalesces into this like. Cool film like the first one did.
Right.
Like it's weird in a way they depended too much on the technology, which is like all this stuff was thrown out and you're like, all right, we got to kind of build up to this great 3D sequence that we have that's half live action, half animated. Then now we'll make the all characters superheroes and we'll give them superpowers. And it was all these kind of random things that kind of got thrown together, which is great for an 11-minute cartoon. Like you could literally do whatever you want right. And you don't need logic or plot or anything. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But when you're sitting there for 90 minutes, you got to give me something to grab onto. Yeah. Something to grab onto. You can't have a 90-minute, 11-minute cartoon. And that's what I thought the first one did a lot better.
Do you think this was a script issue or a directing issue? Or
it was definitely more of a script. It was the way it was written. It was just really like, I was like checking my watch. I'm like, oh, nothing's happening. What's going on? And
It's interesting. It was directed by Paul Tibbett, who was the writer on the first. Paul Tibbett was a big writer on the series and
yes.
Wrote the first movie. But this is the first one, I believe, that he's directed.
Right. I think the creator directed the first one.
Right.
Steven Hillenburg, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. This is, a lot of kids were loving it, so I might just be curmudgeonly on this movie. But, I can't say, I hate SpongeBob. These are all dumb. Because I like the first one.
And
speaking of Alec Baldwin, he was in the first one as like a hitman fish, and it was really funny. But this one, it kind of lacked that charm and fun of the actual, like, all right, it's a movie. Let's kick it up a notch, but not just in graphics, in terms of like, story and scope and everything, just make it bigger. And it just felt like they just kind of made it bigger with visuals rather than story.
You like the visuals though.
Yeah. I mean, it looked great. I mean, but again, there's not that much of it. Like from the trailers, you think the entire thing is like 3D or whatever. It's not. It's literally just the end. So it's mostly the 2D animation that you see on the cartoon for 75% of the film.
Oh, boy.
With the exception of Antonio Banderas, like, telling the story to seagulls, like his little wraparounds in his pirate ship. Now, Antonio Banderas, I always enjoy watching him, and you could tell he was having fun with this role. It just fell flat to me a little bit. Like, it's not to say it's horrible. It just, I liked the first one better. It's okay. If you're a fan, you might like it. You may not, but I didn't enjoy it as much as
last one. So it's not such a huge departure that it's like, what the hell are they doing?
They're still definitely there. Like, there's something that you'll enjoy. If you're a fan of SpongeBob and kind of the world that was created, you'll still enjoy it, but it wasn't as good as the first one.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk to our good friends at Pro Flowers.
Yes. You know, the flowers we were talking about in earlier episodes, still in full bloom right now.
Yeah, mine. I was just looking at that mine today because I was like, wow.
And I've never had flowers last this long before
ever.
In our home.
And I did everything they told me to do. When you first get them, they say cut an inch off the bottom and then put them in water. The flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not my own feet.
Yeah.
And then put them in water with the they give you two packets of plant food. So use one of them And then three
and then
days,
you eat the other one.
And then you, no, Chris, you're not.
What? I'm not following the directions.
You're not following anything. You don't understand how anything works. So the Pro Flowers directions, Christopher, are, so then after then 3 days later, cut another inch off the stems, fresh water, the second packet of,
plant food. And it refreshes them.
It does. And it's like, now, as I said, mine sat on my front porch for 5 days while I was
amazing.
In Tahoe, and they are still in bloom. I haven't had fresh flowers in my apartment.
When we got
time.
Them, they were buds, and it literally took like 2 days, and they opened up, and so you know they're fresh. It's not like a lot of other companies; they basically they subcontract to a local florist and they come out. But these are so fresh, they get shipped right from Pro Flowers, and they get sent right to you. So you definitely want to. Use this for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And so, Valentine's Day only a couple days away.
And they're doing a great special. So if you buy 2 dozen assorted roses and you get chocolates and a free vase, all for $29.99.
What kind of chocolates?
Decadent chocolates.
Nice. Read that ad copy.
Decadent chocolate. And a free glass vase.
Hashtag wicked chocolate.
Ooh, wicked chocolate. Your chocolate is wicked. All for $29.99 from Plo Flowers. So, and then you can upgrade to 2 dozen long stem assorted roses and chocolates and upgrade to an upgraded cherry vase for just $9.99 more. So if you go to proflowers.com and use code CF. N.
That's proflowers.com, proflowers.com. Use the code CFN.
Yeah.
And it's easy. It's convenient. It's a great price. And you know what? You get a lot. You get a lot of flowers. We got like, it was like that giant vase of flowers that they sent us. It was really, it's really
you
nice.
You get the chocolates. You get all of it. You know, if I had actually had a serious girlfriend, I would use this for Valentine's Day.
Of course you would. But you said yourself, though, you know, it wouldn't be that weird if someone sent you flowers.
Yeah. It's not hard if you got my address, guys.
You wouldn't get angry.
No, I'd love it. You want to send me flowers and chocolates?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm easy.
Yeah.
You don't got to get me drunk. I'm a sure thing.
Flowers and chocolates. That's it. Cheap date. Nice.
I'm a real cheap date. Yeah. I'm very cheap.
So remember, click on the microphone and put the code CFN. And order today. This deal does expire Wednesday at midnight.
Wednesday, February 11th.
Yes. And right now we're in the 10th, so that gives you 2 days. Don't ruin it. The lady in your life wants flowers.
So let's do a little earbuds update.
Yeah, let's do it. Just remember, proflowers.com.
Coupon code CFN.
Yes.
So here's where we're at with earbuds. Tina Imahara, the editor, and her team have been sending us assembled scenes.
Yes.
So
they look great.
They do look great. So I've been...
Really looks like Australia, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is definitely Australia. Like we got the scene with Russell, Russell Porter in the Outback, and I'm just going through and making notes. Like, okay, use this part, this sound bite, cut this, cut that. And we're just getting more and more detailed as to what the movie is. And, you know, we have a 3-act outline, obviously, of what each scene. Okay, this is going to be the Australian theme, and this is going to be Japan, and this is going to be fans and all this other stuff. So we're just getting more specific and detailed with that. But everything's on track and looking good. The movie will be done by the summer.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing it all kind of put together. For those of you that don't know the ins and outs of how the sausage is made in editing, what we do first is we're putting together what's called an assembly edit, which is pretty much everything strung out so we could see everything at once. Then we'll figure out the structure of the edit, and then it'll go to a rough cut. Then it will go to a final cut. Then it will go to sound design, sound mixing, and the composer. Mm-hmm. And then it'll go to finishing. And all this will take about 8 more years. So
shut your mouth.
No, so we're hoping to actually have this done in the summer like we had planned. And we're on track to do that. Everyone's working really hard on it. It looks great, and we're very happy with the way it's coming out. But we haven't given you guys an update in a while. We wanted to let you know everything's moving forward. Mm-hmm. Nothing's kind of stopped or stalled. Nope. It's a very slow, long process, but it is moving.
It is moving, and to see the assembled version is very cool. You know, and as you guys know, and we've talked about this in the past, but it bears repeating, is, you know, the script is being written now. You know, like, that's the difference between a documentary and a scripted film. You get into the editing room with
the
scripted film.
You're finding the story in the edit.
Yeah. A regular film, you already have it. So we're finding the story in the edit. So we're getting these assembled versions and seeing, like, oh, this person says this thing, which is great, but that we could also use what they say in this other scene and all this other stuff. So it is a long, tedious process, but it is moving forward, and the footage looks great.
It does. It looks fantastic.
So that is your earbuds update. Earbuds date. All right.
We also, there's an earbuds site too. We set up a website for earbuds, but we haven't really updated in a little bit. We will be updating it as we get closer. Although we also have plans to start rolling out little teasers and trailers too for everyone. So there are probably the next couple months or so.
We're going to release the trailer, the one we showed at PodFest. We're going to put that online probably March-ish, March, April.
Right.
And then when that starts, after we release the trailer, then we're going to start releasing little teasers of
new footage,
like this interview, blah, 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 and, you know, maybe outtakes and stuff like that.
I mean, there's just some great stuff too, like, you know, one of the questions we've gotten, was it all just going to be comedy? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. We've actually have some great footage of the Freakonomics guys. They did an amazing interview with us while they were in LA. Mm-hmm. And also Stuff You Should Know from mm-hmm. Atlanta. They we got them on camera too. So there's a lot of non-LA comedy mm-hmm. podcasts mm-hmm. in there as well, and some really different and interesting perspectives, and also a lot of the fans too. When we hear them talk about the different podcasts, it's not always Mark Maron or Aisha mm-hmm. Tyler to talk about the NPR ones, and it's, you know, we try to cover as much ground as we can, but, you know, disclaimer, it won't have everything in it.
But yeah, it is really cool to kind of see this process after having shot it, obviously, and then watching all the footage in the summer and the fall, and then writing out the three acts, to now see, you know, Tina and her people put these assembly, to actually see the scenes next to each other is really cool.
It's like assembling a puzzle.
Yeah, it is, and it's really starting to take shape, which is a cool thing. So stay tuned, guys. There'll be more updates and more footage and stuff we're going to release online. All right.
You know, DVDs and Blu-rays.
DVDs and Blu-rays.
Nightcrawler is now out. You know, Graham and I kind of had the same reaction on this film. Great performance, Jake Gyllenhaal. Kind of a subpar movie. Definitely some script problems, especially the ending.
Right.
One of the surprises for the Academy Awards was that the script was nominated for an Academy Award. And somebody actually emailed and said the original script was actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. But you know, we can't judge a movie on the original script. Mm-mm. It's got to be what ends up on the screen. So whatever got changed or tweaked about, it definitely, the script fell a little flat.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal does. It's another one of these Oscar movies where see it just for his performance.
Yeah, he does an amazing
performance. And Rene Russo's good.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's good supporting characters in it. It's a really, he is amazing in it. It's really a departure from what he normally plays, which was really, you know, kind of the, you know, boy next door, the aw shucks guy.
Right.
And this is, he's just a fucking psychopath. And he does a great job at it.
So, and he's also very polite.
Yeah, he's a polite lunatic.
And that's what I loved about this character, is he really got into the part, and you really believe, like when a lot of times when you have psychopaths or sociopaths, when they're being polite, you know it's to get something.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a manipulation. When he was being polite and talking about the way a workplace works, you literally believe him. Like, no, this is, he's being sincere.
Yeah, yeah.
Real. Yeah.
He believes his lunacy.
Yeah, he does. It's like his he believes that this is how business operates, mm-hmm. and how you should conduct yourself in the office of your car.
Like a true lunatic.
And I really enjoyed those parts of the performances from
him. No, all of the scenes with him are just like, God, they're really good. The next movie out on DVD, God, Rosewater. Now, this is John Stewart's movie about the Iranian-Canadian journalist Mazir Bahari, who's detained by the Iranian forces. And they...
No nominations for this film either.
It's one of those films that slipped through the cracks for me. So I really need to see it. And the lead is, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, Gael Garcia Bernal.
Hashtag GGB.
Hashtag GGB. from Motorcycle Diaries and, you know, Et tu Mama Tambien. Tambien, mm-hmm. I believe. So I really like that actor, and I really want to see, you know, seeing some interviews and stuff with Jon Stewart. I really want to see how he does as a director, and love to hear what you guys, if anyone of you guys have seen it, love to hear what you think about it. And I'm definitely glad this is out on DVD, because I'm going to check this out. So, Rosewater.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it. I didn't catch it either. Force Majeure, I wanted to put this movie on your radar because and this is a movie I haven't seen yet, but Dave Anthony told me about mm-hmm. it. And everyone who's seen it has told me it's just great. It's, I believe, a Swedish film. And it's about a family who vacations near the French Alps. And there's a landslide. And the father apparently just bolts and just doesn't worry about saving the family. He does, you know, an Alec Baldwin. It's still Alice. Spoiler alert. but here's the thing. And then the whole movie, but that's just at the beginning. The whole movie is about how the family copes with him bolting on the avalanche. So I heard it's really good, and I definitely want to check it out on DVD.
All right. Yeah, I've heard good things about it as well. It's a bunch of mainly actors that I'm not that familiar with. So it looks interesting. And then there's something, a movie I want to talk about. I know we've mentioned on the show in the past, but Kill Bill Volume 1 was on TV.
Just Volume 1? They didn't show them both?
They showed them both. And I'm going to watch the second one on my own again. I've seen these movies a bunch. Kill Bill Volume 1 is great. I love this movie so much. And seeing it again, you know, I was getting chills from certain scenes. And like, especially the scene with Lucy Liu, you know, and getting the Hattori Hanzo, seeing Sonny Chiba. There's so much great stuff in this film because it is pretty, you know, it's classic Quentin Tarantino. It's very, it's got these serious and these hard edges and this heart to it, but then it has this kind of
gratuitously bloody.
Yeah, gratuitously bloody. But like the blood that
I was mixing gratuitous and glorious.
Yeah.
Gratuitously.
I don't know what you're saying. But one of the things, though, you know, he was sort of almost kind of doing a parody of those Japanese samurai movies that were really bloody. And
he puts like animation in part of it. And it's an insane movie.
It's an insane movie, but it all makes great sense. And like, you know, Lucy Liu is great in it and all the supporting actors. And like, there's these scenes with where Lucy Liu is taking over the Yakuza council or whatever. There's this really awesome Japanese actors that they get, you know, this guy, the guy that's angry that she's taken over. And then Sonny Chiba has a great scene. And the guy that plays his like employee at the sushi place, when Beatrix Kiddo comes in there, when Uma Thurman comes in there, and then they have this wonderful banter where Sonny Chiba's yelling at him. He's like, I don't want to, yeah, you're an awful employee. And they're yelling at each other in Japanese and she's pretending not to understand. And then when he makes the sword and he's describing the sword and they just cut to a close-up of the ball guy who's kneeling in respect and he's like his assistant in making swords. And you see their actual relationship is he's this assistant to one of the greatest swords makers ever. And he has this reverence to him and he's got tears in his eyes as he described that scene where he's like, should you encounter God on your journey, this sword would cut him. And I say that without an ounce of ego, you know, and it's amazing the way I'm paraphrasing that
scene. Yeah, I don't remember that line at all.
He goes,
I remember him saying that this is the greatest sword I've ever made.
He goes,
I say that without ego.
I say that without ego. And he goes, should you?
I don't remember the killing God part.
He doesn't say kill God. He says, should you encounter God on your journey, this sword would cut him. It's that good of a sword. And he talks about the whole revenge is like a forest where you get in and you don't know where you're going. You can get lost. And there's so many great lines in there, and there's so much great dialogue, you know, where Uma Thurman is fighting Gogo Yabari, that crazy teenage Japanese teenager girl in the schoolgirl outfit that has the ball with knives on it on a chain, and they have mm-hmm. that crazy fight scene. It's so great. And then the scene where it's finally her and Lucy Liu together fighting is just, it's such poetry with the fountain that's going while the snow is gently falling. And I know he's taking scenes from all these other samurai films, but it's just awesome. She's wearing the Bruce Lee outfit, the yellow outfit with the black stripes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's so much about this film that I just wanted to talk about it again, because I remember a thing about I love about a movie like this. And then you see it again. It's one of those you always have to watch it when you're flipping through the channels, or you just go back and watch it again on, mm-hmm. on Netflix or whatever. It brought me back to the moment that movie first came out.
Yeah. I remember even before it came out, there was buzz like the studio was upset because it was like, it's too long, we can't release it. It was never meant to be two.
Right.
And apparently Harvey Weinstein, I mean, this is the legend as it goes. He's right. Like, after he saw the dailies, mm-hmm. he just went, just make your movie, Quentin. And like, literally just do what you want to do what you need right. to do. And then they decided, because it was so long, they broke it up into two films.
And I'm so glad they did that, because the first movie is a samurai film and the second movie is a Western.
Pretty much, like a revenge.
It's a revenge
movie.
Western. Yeah. It's like uh-huh. a spaghetti Western.
Right.
And so they're two totally different things, but it's so, it's so cool. And Uma Thurman plays this badass so well. And there's really cool fight choreography. There's really cool cinematography in it. It's such a, and the stylized depiction of Japan. She's on a plane. I'll never forget when I first saw this. She's on a plane and her samurai sword's next to her. And this is 2003. So I'm like, you know, no one's going to allow you to have a sword on a plane after 9/11. Like, come on. And then they pull back, and every seat has a samurai, has a katana holster. Like, that's how you travel in Japan. Everyone's got a samurai sword. I absolutely love that. And, you know, that's where Lucy Liu is like, she's like, it's a Hattori Hanzo steel. And she goes,
Katana Airlines.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, Lucy Liu's like, you have a Hattori Hanzo steel? Like mm-hmm. everyone, and that's a Sonny Chiba character from his TV show. That, you know, it's so, there's so much cool stuff in it. It's so, there's all these cool references. There's, and then there's these sound drops from the Bionic Woman, from Ironside. Oh. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that we're so awesome. And so I cannot, you know, if you have never seen this movie, stop what you're doing and go watch it right now. And
it'll take you 3 to 4 hours.
Watch both of them back to back. And if you haven't watched these in a while.
And, you know, David Carradine's legacy from all of, you know, the martial arts films and TV shows that he's been in. Kung Fu was
great, and it's such great casting to put him in there.
Well, you kind of had to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and the way they do it in some scenes are in black and white and all that stuff. So Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, guys. Check them out. Rewatch them if you haven't in a while.
Okay, and premiering this week, Valentine's Day weekend. Uh-oh, 50 Shades of Grey. Look out. After you get your pro flowers delivered, that's where you're going.
I want to see this movie. Am I an idiot? I want to see this.
Yeah. This is, here's the thing too about this movie. It's reviewer proof. It doesn't matter what anybody's going to say. People that want to see it, they're going to go see it. In fact, there's a review embargo, so you haven't seen any reviews yet, because that only happens with good films, right?
Oh.
It's really fascinating to see if you have any extra time to kind of read like the little history of like how the movie got made and, you know, who mm-hmm. dropped out and who went in and like You know, these are books that started as Twilight fan fiction. And they just literally now they've gone all over the world. There's a trilogy of books. But ultimately, it's a very familiar story. And there's been all these different, like, critiques and analysis of them. And all, it's still the basic Cinderella story.
Right.
Is, you know, you get taken away from your ordinary life by a rich prince. This just one happens to have a naughty playroom.
Yeah, he's in the S&M.
Yeah. So you wonder too, it's like the formula, it's a very tried and true formula. I don't think there's anything going to be extra shocking. I don't think there's going to be anything really innovative. It is what it is. And one of the things I was thinking about too, if you mess with this formula, even just a little bit, would it be as successful? Like, what if he was like a school teacher, you know, and he was driving, you know, his Honda Civic. Like, well, I have a playroom, but it's small, you know. And I don't have a helicopter. Would you still be into this?
She wouldn't. Uh-uh. The private jet opens up a lot of options.
Sure, it does. Yeah, I think so. You know, you're going to be whisked away. And
I would love to see, you know what I would love to see? The female version of this. Some like crazy, hot, highly successful girl and the like dopey average guy. Yeah. And she's like, I'm really into this. And he's like, all right, yeah. Whatever.
I don't do romance.
Yeah. Okay. Neither do I, friend.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think, on either side, I will say, like I said, it is what it is. Don't go looking for it to be some amazing film. Don't go looking for it to be extra horrible. Don't go looking for it to be extra controversial. It just is what it is. And what it is very mundane and not as crazy as the media is making it out to be. It definitely, when I was reading some of these articles, there's a couple new terms that have been coined because of this. And they're like weird terms like mom porn, like that. what does that mean? That's a term that I never wanted to hear ever. It's like because all the housewives and stuff that are into this, it's like it's the safe kind of type of porn that they're all basically consuming. But so I really think this is a kind of a curiosity to really see like how this movie actually plays out. But ultimately, it is what it is. Don't expect it to be anything more than... Basically, you could look at it as like an Adam Sandler movie. It is what it is. It doesn't matter what reviewers or anybody says. You want to go see it, you're going to go see it. Yeah.
All right.
But I can't wait to read some of the reviews that are going to come out of this movie. In fact, Laura House said she's going to go see it for a date night review. Good. I can't wait. We're going to have a great review of the film. Kingsman, The Secret Service. Now, the more I see about this movie, the more I'm kind of excited to see it.
Me too.
Although I'm thinking, because I'm going to Lake Tahoe, I've got to see something shitty to even out. I think for you seeing,
we talked about like Matthew Vaughn directed it. I think
I may not be able to see this movie. I may have to go see 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you couldn't see this and had to see 50 Shades of Grey.
You know, it's only if Mordecai's not playing. I have to punish myself as much as possible because you saw. Project Almanac.
Yeah. I don't know. The more I see about
Matthew
this,
Vaughn is a great director. I love his films.
I love his films too. I feel like this is like a studio misstep, maybe. Or is it brilliant? Like,
it's definitely counter programming, but also you look at like, well, this is a weird time to release it if it's that good. Like, you know, you have a February dumping ground also on Valentine's Day because it's not a Valentine's movie.
Not at all.
And also, you know, a good counter programming too with like these date movies is like you have a family movie or you have some, well, you know, maybe it is counter programming for these. I don't know. If you want to go to the movies and you're not forced to see 50 Shades of Grey, and you're not taking your children to a film to see SpongeBob, maybe this, we'll see how it works out. I'm actually curious to see how this release strategy plays out for this film. I'm wondering if this is the kind of movie that's going to not necessarily get a lot of buzz in theatrical and then get buzz like video on demand and DVD, like when everyone actually starts seeing it.
If it is the good movie that we think it could be, because of Matthew Vaughn, I get a feeling that it might kind of you know, surprise people. Maybe it'll have a little bigger weekend than people thought, or maybe it'll sort of gradually, like you say, like down the road or VOD or something like that. It'll be like, whoa,
it'll
wait.
Gain its audience.
Yeah, it'll gain its audience over time because it'll be a big word of mouth.
So let's hope it's good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
And also, it's a basically a like a teenager version of like the Secret Service. Like MI6, is that kind of the premise?
I guess, yeah. Spy organization recruits unrefined but promising street kid into the agency's ultra-competitive training program.
Oh, so it's an R-rated spy kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our kids.
Our kids. Great.
So now
this next film, What We Do in the Shadows, is one of those movies that is definitely very limited release. And, in fact, it may go straight to VOD, but it's the kind of movie that's got a buzz on it, and I saw the trailer, and I was really intrigued by it. Basically, a documentary crew follows around a bunch of vampires who were roommates. And now, it could definitely be one of those premises that is like, oh, God, you know, we've seen comedy, vampires, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But it looks so inventive and so fun, and it's also, I think, one of the Flight of the Conchord guys is also in it, and it just looks really funny. So I want to put that film also on your radar, guys. It's What We Do in the Shadows, and definitely Jemaine Clement.
Yeah, Jemaine Clement.
And if you just check out the trailer, you're going to want to see this movie. It's one of those movies, too, that it looks like it can transcend kind of like its overused premise of vampires, and it kind of plays on that a little bit, and it looks really, really funny. And it's actually gotten some great reviews, and it's done very well in festivals, so I'm very excited to see it. So if you can check it out on VOD, that's maybe where
Jemaine
it is.
Clement and Taiki Waititi are the two. They co-wrote it and co-direct it, and they're both in it. So it's very I'm very curious to see what this looks like, because I am intrigued by it.
And next, our site spotlight fan feedback. Now we actually added some stuff to the YouTube channel. Finally added Hit Clown for free. You can watch my film Hit Clown. It's a black and white movie about a clown and a hitman who accidentally switch bags and find they like the other's job better. It stars Jennifer Elise Cox and Jay Johnston. I added my film. We're going to be adding Graham's film very shortly as well, Hello Junkie. But the other thing I added, we added one of Christopher Alan Broadstone's films, Human No More. That's also a very disturbing story about a policeman, a police detective, who's seen a little bit too much, and he's basically doing a monologue towards the camera about what he's seen and how it's kind of sent him over the edge. It's a really great psychological short horror film.
It's good because we had Christopher Alan Broadstone on, you know, I believe in around October. So we've talked about him on the show in the past. It's a great way to see his work and to see Hit Clown on the YouTube channel for free.
And we've also added Matthew Eller's Lunch, which is a great
one. Oh, that movie's hilarious.
Film. Yeah, check that one out too.
So, and also, guys, the you know, the Hit Clown shirts and the Hello Junkie shirts, we put them on sale.
On sale.
Some of you guys have been buying them, so there's still some left. I think we still have all sizes remaining just right now. So when they
but they are starting to go.
They are starting to go. So when they sell out, they sell out. Like if the size you want is out, we're not making any more.
No, so, limited edition.
So get those while you can, you guys. And then the message boards are working.
They should be by now. They were working, and then there was a little glitch, but Brian's working on it right now. So by the time you're listening to this in your ear holes right now, it should be working.
Okay, because we got a great – since they started working, people have been able to register again, because that was the problem. People couldn't register.
Couldn't get any new blood on the message boards.
So we got some. So we got a great recommendation from David Osborne, Time is Illmatic. And it's basically a documentary about a hip hop star named Nas. And so he writes a really cool explanation of what it is. So we thank you, David Osborne. I believe you might be new to the message boards.
But thanks for the recommendation.
Thanks for the recommendation.
And if we see the movie, we'll learn how to pronounce his name.
Maybe.
I'm going to go with Nas. What are you going to go? Naz?
Naz.
Naz.
Naz. Naz, Naz. So yeah, we really, this is a really cool recommendation. We love getting recommendations.
What if the S is silent? What if it's nah?
Nah. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, nah. I'm still going to mispronounce it.
What if the A is silent? Nts.
What if all three letters are silent, Chris?
That would be cool. Yeah. Just a, then it'd be Prince.
Yeah.
Maybe a symbol.
Stare quietly, and that's how you pronounce the name. So thank you, David Osborne, for recommending Time is Illmatic, about hip-hop star. So we're really excited to see that movie. I love getting you guys this recommended. One of you recommended, and I think we brought it up, about, there is a documentary with regard to American Sniper, and I talked about my uncle, who was a Marine in Korea, about the Chosin Valley, which was that epic battle. I still don't know if that's where my uncle fought, but you did recommend that documentary, and I will watch it when I get a chance. So I appreciate that. So these are the other thing, you guys. We love recommendations about movies. You've taught us about a lot. We love hearing your feedback on things.
And go see Kill Bill.
And I love to, though, I was at the Improv, so I'm headlining the Improv this weekend, February 14th, the Saturday night, and on there they had Yakov Smirnoff and my photo, because we're playing like back-to-back nights, or maybe we're on the same night or something, and I posted that photo on my Instagram and Twitter and all that, Facebook, saying I never thought I'd share a bill with this one, and Daniel, our social media intern, then put it on the Comedy Film Nerd Facebook page, and you guys write the best jackass jokes I've ever, you know. Sean Sakave writes, in Soviet Russia, Marquez shares you. Like, it's, and Ravioli goes, in Russia, Graham Elwood's you. Like, Scott Phillips, what a country. It's just, it's,
made us laugh. That's
Joshua
sure.
Ills, in Soviet Russia, Bane whistles you. Yeah. Like, everyone just made Yakov Smirnoff jokes. And someone actually wrote, Todd Mixon asked, isn't Yakov a professor at Yale now? Is this true? I want to know this. So
maybe he's on sabbatical.
Maybe, oh God, in Russia, sabbatical takes you. Like, just those jokes forever are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, David Schmidt writes, lucky gargoyle because I'm standing next to one shirtless. These are amazing comments. So thank you guys for all that stuff. That is our episode.
Covered a lot of ground today.
We did cover a lot of ground today.
So don't forget, Valentine's Day is almost here. So go to proflowers.com, use the code CFN, and you're going to get an amazing deal. Just $9.99 more, you get upgraded cherry vase.
Yeah, for 30 or 40 bucks, you get vases and chocolates and flowers and the whole dance. So coupon
codes. And they're great.
Yeah. We've had them both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've sent both to us, and then we can attest to the quality.
Yeah, I've eaten the strawberries and the flowers.
Yeah, they're delicious.
They're delicious flowers. I need my fiber.
Yeah, and you sprinkled the plant food on your
course,
pasta.
Chris, yes, over the pasta. Yeah, it's like a Parmesan.
Yeah,
it's real nice. So check that out, you guys, of course.
And it gives you plant powers,
it does,
too, which is great.
I know. I already have hippie.
Now you can photosynthesize.
I've been wanting to do that for years. It's so exciting to photosynthesize. yeah, guys, Wednesday night I'm doing Comics on Safari with Murray Valeriano, Tim Lee, and a couple others at the Brea Improv. That is Wednesday, February 11th. And as I said, headlining the Hollywood Improv Valentine's Day, Saturday, February 14th, 8 p.m., and headlining Las Vegas, February 17th through the 22nd. And nice. You're in Tahoe.
I'm in
Lake
Tahoe this week, yes, going from the 11th to the 15th.
And you're working with Will Durst.
Will Durst, yeah, it's going to be really a great week. And the other thing we won't be working with is snow.
Actually, they just got dumped on.
Oh, they did?
Oh, no, there's a lot of snow that just came in.
Oh,
so
finally. They've been waiting for that for a long time.
Yeah, my week had no snow, but Howie just told me they got dumped on. So anybody in Northern Cal, Sacramento Bay Area, come up, do some skiing, and see Chris and Will Durst. It's a good show.
It'll be great.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. Episode 255, put it in the books. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. As always, remember,
Han shot first.